we're in an unfiltered series, and I'm going to go through this today. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to plow through. This is probably a 10-week series, and I tried to do it in four. For that, I am sorry. But I need to get through some stuff today and wrap this up. It was so hard. I had about 100 slides last night, and I've pushed it down to a few less than that. I think it's 98. So here we go. Are you ready? We started 1 Thessalonians 5, 23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Himself, may he himself, the God of peace, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls is faithful, he will also do it. Amen. So God's got a plan for you, not just to get you to heaven, but he right now wants to bring heaven to earth. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to manifest himself in you right now. God wants to do that. I got my lovely picture of Jesus and Nicodemus, and Jesus had such beautiful knobby knees that Nicodemus said, "How can I be like you?" Jesus was somebody who, Nicodemus was a righteous man. If I had a church full of people like Nicodemus, we would be breaking at the seams. Our finances would be over the top. I mean, the kids would all behave themselves. Everything would be good. He was a righteous, righteous man. So here is a very righteous man, a guy whose life is working real good. But he said, Jesus, clearly nobody can do what you do unless God is in him. So he said, I'm serving God. I'm doing my very, very best, but you are a different kind of man. And I want to know what it is about you. How do I connect with eternity like you do? Now, that's not how do I get to heaven, but how do I right now get the God kind of life? We turned eternal life into getting to heaven. That's not what he was asking for. He was saying, I want the Zoe life presently in this time and space. I want to be like you today. I want to walk like you walk. There's something about you that's so ridiculously attractive and free and wonderful that how do I get some? So Jesus said, well, you got a mom, you got a dad. He says, so you're born in a physical realm, but you've got to be born from above. Born again is an awful translation. You've got to be born from above. You have to be refathered. You see, my mom was flesh, but my dad was spirit. My mom was flesh, but my dad was spirit. And to walk like I do, you have to be refathered. To walk like I do, you have to be born from above as an act of God where you experience a regenesis. You experience regened. You are regened, literally regened. Behold, all things became new. Everything passed away. How many know regened would be really good? How many of your genes speak and determine everything that's going on in your life? You are regened in every way. I've been regened by the blood of the Lamb. I've been regened, and I know I am. I've been regened by the blood of the Lamb. Sorry about that. I don't even know how that happens. It's like a random file pops up and I just start saying, you know, so boom, he got born again. So the flesh part was knocked out and he was born of the spirit. And every one of us, have you been refathered? We've been refathered. There's a new source. There's a new origin. Adam was our father and he passed down a delusion of a broken life. He passed down separation from God. He passed down the wrong attitude about God and the wrong attitude about ourselves. But I've been refathered. I've been regened. And now I've got a new head. There's a new federal system established. I'm no longer under Adam's federalism. I'm under the federal system of Jesus Christ. I've been refathered in every way. That is a big deal. I talked about that 4 weeks ago. So there you go. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Say soul. Say prospers. There's something about your soul realm. There's something about this realm that we gotta let get redemption fully applied to so we can deal with the filter and that there can be a free flow in and through my life of heaven to earth. I gotta keep going. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Not you'll hear the truth, not have the truth spoken to you, but you shall intimately know it. That no is an intimacy with truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You need to have an intimate revelation, a working knowledge of truth. Truth doesn't set you free, but knowledge of truth, relational truth, that establishes you, and it will not just set you free, it'll make you. Make you. Like I could put peas in front of you, but then I could make you eat them. When you know the truth, when you come into an intimate revelation of the truth, boom, the truth will make you free. Therefore, who the Son sets free, who the Son, who the Son, who the Son makes free, the Son, when he makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Galatians 5:1, in this freedom, Christ has made us free. Are you free today? He set us free, completely liberate us. Stand fast then. Now, if I've been set free, I'm free, right? Yes. See, the problem is we got the status, but the world needs to see the substance. We got the status, but the world needs to see the substance. You see, right away, like we talked about last week, the enemy doesn't mind that you've been, well, he does mind that you've been justified and sanctified, set apart, but he wants to keep you from understanding it. He wants to keep you from walking in the revelation of it. He wants to tell you things like, hey, you'll get to go to heaven someday. Have some songs, singing some Bible studies and all that stuff. But you're still going to be a miserable wretch and your life's not going to look any different from your broken neighbor. That's rubbish. Everything has changed. Everything. You see, you can be set free and you can go back to a yoke of slavery. You can be set free and not look like you're free. You can be set free and not behave like you're free. You can get set free and be in that freedom, but not manifest that freedom. Are you with me? So you got to stand fast then. Do not be hampered, held, and ensnared or submit again to a yoke of slavery. We talked about yokes. There was the yoke of religion. Don't get sucked into religious performance. Churches love religious performance. Don't you want to be a better person? Well, of course I do. Well, you see, there's the whole lie. Religion defined simply is you got to do one more thing to be righteous. That is religion. Because it'll keep you on a treadmill of performance, constantly trying to be acceptable to God. Last week we talked about your identity. The enemy wants to come against your identity. If you are a son of God, if you are who you say you are, and he's constantly challenging your identity. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he accuses me of. God made me his son. God did it. And the blood of Jesus, the power of the gospel is powerful, and nothing can take me from his hand. I am a child of God. And the enemy is constantly going to challenge your identity. Who are you again? I'm a child of God, redeemed, set free, sanctified, holy, and blameless in the sight of my Father. If you can't say that, you're not standing free in your freedom. Stand firm then. Don't get a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to religious performance. Then the other yoke was the yoke of this world. Don't get yoked by the world. Don't get yoked by how the world views life. The world always wants to say, we're smarty pants over here. We got a better version of doing it. It doesn't. Trust me, if you stay yoked in Christ, you're going to have the best form of justice, the best form of freedom, the best manifestation. You're going to be a champion in every single cause because Jesus is really, really good. He really is. So do not submit again to yoke of slavery, which you once put off. We've put it off. Say, put off. I'm not putting it off. I put it off. Why would I go, hey, where's that yoke of slavery again? Where's that religious, where'd I put that religious performance? Want to feel good about myself. Well, if him totally setting for you free, calling you his child, redeeming you, setting you apart from everything evil, filling you with his very nature. If that's not enough, good Lord, you're being lied to. Okay. The NLT says, now make sure that you stay free. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay free. Stay free. The flesh is tricky. And the flesh always wants to drag you back in again. Albert Camus, 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 thank you. Very good. I knew somebody might know. I figured I'll probably pronounce it wrong, but he's a philosopher, was probably an existentialist, playwright, an author, won the Nobel Peace Prize. I don't believe he was a believer. I don't know. I don't want to I'm not sure, don't personally know, but I love this quote from him. I love this quote. He says, the only way to deal with the unfree world or an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. I just like the quote. I just think it's a great quote. You know, because when I see people that aren't free, I am going to be so obnoxiously free that literally it irritates the stuffing out of them. You know what I mean? Pastor, how come you're so free? I think you're going too far with your freedom. I want to annoy people with liberty. I want to annoy people with freedom. Who the Son set free is free indeed. But I sniff any bit of religious striving, and boy, I want to manifest true freedom. Are you okay? Are you okay? I still suffer from a little bit of soul issues. A little bit. I feel better when you shout amen. Amen. Not once. You know, I know with Jesus, it's once and for all. With me, you got to keep it coming. You got to keep it coming. I mean, my God. All my needs are met in Christ and you. Amen. Pray for the pastor. You know, pray for the pastor. He's lacking in self-confidence, and, you know, pray for him. All right, come on. Jesus is our one and only liberator. He has brought freedom back to man, and through the new man is not individual. When we read the new man, there was the new man, and then there was the man of sin. The man of sin has been done away with. The corporate man of sin was done away with. But this new man corporately, this new man, the church, the body of Christ, is aligned with his headship, and he has brought freedom to the cosmos through this beautiful vehicle. Read Ephesians 3, verse 10. His eternal purpose before the foundation of the world was that through the church, he would reveal his multifaceted wisdom to the whole cosmos. So God has given us a job to do, and we are here not just to save your neighbor, not just to get some people to heaven, but we are here right now to actively today cause an absolute shift in the cosmos. And the cosmos is looking at you and saying, don't you know who you are? Because if things are going to change, it's the sons of God coming into manifestation and calling transformation into reality. Amen. All right, I got to keep going. Keep going, Pastor. Keep going. Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head. Say head. See, Adam was the federal head. He was the head, but now Jesus is the head. Say head. Head means the source, the place, the thing that resources everything, that is above and feeds and brings restoration. He has put all things under his feet. Who is his feet? That's your feet. See, he is the head and we are the body of Christ. His head, we've been removed from the head of Adam. We've been removed from the head of sin. We were slaves to sin, but now headship has been restored. And now we are slaves to righteousness, because the same righteousness that's in the head is in the body. The body will not attach itself to something that is as holy as he is. He cannot connect himself to something that is not pure. But he has connected himself with you because he made you holy. And we are now living under the headship of Almighty God. In this headship, he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, or the church. His headship in the body is to partner with redeemed communities so that we can bring the freedom and liberty of God, so that everything in every way can be filled with the revelation of the nature of God himself. How many spirit is awake, but your flesh is... Well, keep your spirit awake. Let the seed hit a spirit and let it bear fruit. Walking in the spirit is not trying to be a good person. Walking in the spirit is not trying to be a good person. It's walking in the spirit. Settle down. What? See, I think a lot of people think walking in the Spirit is I'm trying to imitate God, or I'm trying to imitate one of his kids. You don't have to imitate his kids. You are his kid. Walking in the Spirit is just being you every day, walking in the Spirit. But I don't always get it right. I know. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's still going to work with you, partner with you, and he's going to bring what's on the inside on the outside. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is gushing from within you. What the Spirit does not like is you trying to perform on your own what should only be manifest through Him. Let me say that again. What the Spirit does not like is you saying, take a break, Holy Ghost, watch me perform. That's religion and it smells. Please take a mint. I trust the Holy Spirit. I trust His partnership in my life. And I rest in the finished work of the cross and the knowledge that I'm working with Him. Amen. Ephesians 4, 23 to 24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you can put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we put off the old man and now be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Come to a deep revelation and understanding that you have put on the new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So creation is designed to be structured under human dominion. Creation, the seat you're sitting on, not the person beside you. You have no control over the person beside you. You were never given authority over another person, but you were given authority over all the rest of creation. Every tree, every puppy dog, every other thing. But if you try to control another person, that's a different spirit. Totally different spirit. We're not here to manipulate. We're here to attach people to Jesus and love on them. That's why my job's really easy. I just connect you to Jesus, say, have a nice day. Yeah. Don't call me, I'll call you. Wow. Our pastor. Can I get an amen? If I'm dominated through my senses by this broken world, I can never exercise dominion. See, man was dominated by the world. All that understood and saw was the world. That's why Jesus became a man, so He could come in a sense real place and He could stare you in the face and say, hello, I and the Father are one. We're nuts about you. I'm going to lay down my life for you and I'm going to bring you once and for all into a relationship with the Godhead. You will be one with me, one with the Father. There'll be no separation, no division. I will once and for all do what you could have never done and I'll make you one with the Godhead. Wow. If you don't get it, listen to it 25 more times. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. If I'm dominated through my senses by this broken world, I cannot take responsibility to be who I'm called to be. Adam didn't lose his religion. He lost his right to rule. Adam was in the image of God. He was called to represent, to recreate and reproduce and rule over the earth, to bring the glory of God over the whole earth. But he gave that up because the devil lied to him and the devil said, don't you want to be like God? You'll hear those kind of sermons. Don't you want to get closer? And then they will put you right on a treadmill of performance where you'll never feel as close as you really are. Because your closeness is by faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. But your flesh loves to work. Your flesh loves to work. And some of you, your flesh right now is saying, he can't be right, he can't be right. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Adam didn't lose his religion, he lost his right to rule. But Jesus restored our right to rule. Are you ready? Will you accept your assignment? Will you accept your assignment? Because the world, nothing's going to change until the church wakes up to who they are. It's not about the Russians and Trump and Putin and all these other nonsense. It's the church. And I'll tell you, the church is doing good all over the earth. If you don't know it, you need to take some research. The church is growing like wildfire all over the earth. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's go fast. Here we are. We're three-part beings, a little picture. It's kind of small. You won't be able to see it all, but there it is. You are a body, you have a soul, or you are a spirit, you have a soul and you live in a body. But your soul, your mind, your will and emotions, better breaking it down, the better way to break it down is your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. So you have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. Some of you are listening to me with your conscious mind. Some of you have checked into the subconscious mind already. Conscious mind is 1,000 times more powerful. Subconscious mind is 1,000 times more powerful than your conscious mind. Your subconscious mind is where you store memories, you store things. Do you remember when you were learning to drive a car? Who learned to drive a car? Do you remember when you first started driving? Oh my goodness, you're paying attention, right? You're just like, oh, can you turn the radio on? No, I can't turn the radio on. Oh, God. Like, you're doing everything you can to drive, right? I said, don't talk to me. But now you're like, like, you ever seen Madeline pull out of the parking lot? Oh, my God. She does not drive in her right mind. She is driving totally in the subconscious mind. Sometimes I pulled up beside her and said, hello. You know, you do, because, you know, what happens is what you're doing writes a program and shoves it back in your subconscious brain. So you now develop the program, I know how to drive. And you don't drive consciously anymore. Some of you should. But it's your subconscious takes over. I mean, my subconscious takes over so badly sometimes, I end up driving to a home I used to live in instead of where I live now. Have you ever done that? You ever pulled out of somewhere, turned down a corner? I pulled right in the driveway talking to Cheryl. I'm talking to her. She goes, what are you doing? I went, what do you mean, what am I doing? She said, what are we doing here? I went, oh, my God. We haven't lived here for years. Anyway, I don't even know how that happened. But, you know, your subconscious is powerful. It is powerful. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, all right? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, two-mouthed sword, piercing even the division. Well, there's a division. It's not that it needs to be divided. It shouldn't. There should be a free flow from the Spirit of God through your soul realm into your flesh, announcing to the world sweet liberty and freedom. That's the way it should be. But a lot of us, we get born again, but we still got the same brain. We still got the dumb memories. We still got a lot of thoughts. We got a lot of things that are continually there, and they accuse us. And the enemy tries to grab things out of your subconscious realm, and he tries to accuse you that you're a bad person. I'm not a bad person. See, guilt is I did something bad, but shame is I'm bad. And he tries to say, you're a bad person. The odd time I've done bad stuff, but I will never not be a child of God. All right, the word of God sharper, it divides. It pierces to the division. It doesn't pierce between them. It pierces the division between soul and spirit, joint and marrow discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Great, great verse, fantastic verse. Two edges, is distomas, which is two words. The two words are twice and mouth. It means the double-edged sword has two mouths. There's two mouths on the double-edged sword. In Isaiah, it says, my word goes forth from my mouth. Go like this. Put your hand up here. Bring it down. My word goes forth out of my mouth. Take your other hand down here. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that for which I sent it. The angel said, I'm bringing the word of the Lord to you, Mary. You're going to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost, and you're going to give birth to the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Glory. And she said, how's that going to happen? He said, well, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The Spirit of God can impregnate a young teenage girl. That's a head twister. But it's true. Jesus, the very Son of God, Son of Man, came from her womb. But here's what Mary said. He said, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. Let it be unto me according to your word. See, the word comes, the seed of the word comes. Conception takes place when you agree. Are you a child of God? I still screw up a lot. I don't know. Are you a child of God? So John said, I am a child of God, and that's who I really am. Yes, I really am a child of God. All right, Watchman Nee, he said, a man's will is his organ for decision-making, to want to or not want to. I didn't want to come to church today, you evil thing. It's an organ for decision-making, to want to or not to want to. Your deepest desires, to choose or not to choose, are the typical operations of the will. It is the helm by which he sails. It's the steering wheel, the driver's seat. It's the place where you control the direction of everything. It's the helm by which he sails upon the sea of life. The will of a man can be taken as his real self, for it truthfully represents him. You see, all kinds of stuff happens in your conscious mind, and a lot of stuff happens in your subconscious mind. But literally, there's a doorway called your will, which decides, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this? And you have a will. You have a free will. God didn't make us all slaves or puppets, but you have a will. Every single day, you have a will that is active and operative, and you need to be a guard of it, and you need to be a good steward of it. Your will is the door between your spirit and all other aspects of your life. You must be an active attendant of that door. The enemy is after your will. The enemy is after your will. He'll shove all kinds of things in your head. He'll attack you in all kinds of ways, but he ultimately wants you to make a decision. He wants you to act out. But you know, no matter what, there's no temptation except it's common to man, and God will always provide for you a way out. So no matter what comes your way, you can always choose righteousness. I couldn't help myself. You have no idea. You know, blah, 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 blah. It's your will. You got to be an active attendant. The enemy is after your will. He wants you to walk in agreement with him. He wants you to live independently of God. It shocks me how often we can be doing things that are absolutely independent of God. We behave like God's not with me for the moment. Yes, he is. And you're taking him through a horrible situation. Stop it. I couldn't wait till the pastor was preaching a good stop it sermon. Amen. Who came for the stop it sermon? This is your day. This is your day. John 4:34, Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus ministered to the woman at the well. They'd gone to get some lunch. They came back and said, Jesus, did you eat something? He said, I'm not hungry. What do you mean you're not hungry? Did somebody else give him a cheeseburger? What's going on? He says, you don't understand. My meat, my drink. What sustains me is doing the will of my Father. That's what checks every box in my life, to do the will of the one who sent me. John 8:29, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. Are any sons and daughters here today? You've got eyes to see and ears to hear. Jesus said, you are my sheep, you hear my voice, you follow me. So don't tell me that you couldn't help it. You got in a weird spot where Jesus was like, what are you doing? You know what you were doing? You're going, can't hear you right now. You could. And you can avoid every one of those situations, and you can walk and live out of who you are, perfect, wonderful, blameless, and righteous. Stop behaving like you're not. Wow, this is a good old behavior sermon. Amen? Praise the Lord. This happens once every 2 years, so you better enjoy it. All right. Psalm 32:8-9. Psalm 32:8-9. The Lord says, I will guide you with my eye along the best pathway for your life. Are you ready? I don't need anything. So thank you, though. See, sometimes you're waiting for the big talk, the big communication. But you know, God leads you with his eye. God wants to lead you with his eye. I tell you, my dad would look at me sometimes. I knew exactly, well, he didn't have to speak. I get it. Huh? Where are your eyes? I can see you now. I can see your eyes. I can see your face. We live face to face with the Almighty. Along the best pathway for your life, I will advise you and watch over you. Do not like be like the senseless horse or mule who needs a bit or a bridle to keep it under control. Sadly, a lot of people need a bit and a bridle. A lot of people won't pay attention unless they're in a headlock. That's not God's mode of operation. Ephesians 5:17-18. Do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of God is. Do you know what the will of God is? There's two places you can be. You can be a fool, or you can know the will of God. Are there any fools here today? This is such a harsh sermon. I didn't come for this. But it really is. Don't be. It's an imperative. You ready? Don't be foolish. Don't be thoughtless. Understand and firmly grasp the will of God. Do not get drunk with wine, for that leads to wickedness and corruption and stupidity. Say stupidity. Stupid's in the Bible? Yes, I could give you a lot of other places too. Stupid. All right. Gosh. I might get fired after this sermon. but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly be guided by Him. Don't get filled once, but constantly being filled every moment of my life and every day. Job chapter 11, verse 12. I threw this in just for fun. An idiot will become intelligent when a wild donkey is born a human. What is he trying to say? It's never going to happen, idiot. Gosh, Pastor, you're rude. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just reading the Bible. So the Message says, hollow men and hollow women will wise up about the same time as mules begin to speak. When mules speak, yeah, well, that's when idiots will have intelligence. Okay. Wow. Thank you. Say thank you, Pastor. All right, Matthew 26, 36 to 41, my soul. Now here's Jesus, he's in Gethsemane. So I want to give you an example of Jesus having the full human experience. How did Jesus handle the full human experience? How did he manifest soul prosperity in a time of incredible grief? I know they keep telling me the service is over, but I'm going to go on a little bit. Okay, so I'm really sorry for all the people teaching Sunday school, especially my wife, who will kill me. All right, so I'm going to do this quickly. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. My soul, Jesus said, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Sorrow, emotional grief to the point of death. Stay here with me, guys. Hang out with me a little bit. Please watch with me. And he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we got the flesh, we got the spirit, we got the soul, we got emotions, we got thought. We got petitions. Jesus in Gethsemane is going through all of this. In Gethsemane, he said, and being in anguish, he's praying. And as he was sweating, it was like sweat drops of blood falling to the ground. This is unbelievably intense. This is a whole body soul experience right now. Right now, the sins of the whole world are beginning to be placed on him. And he's going, this is killing me. Literally. Mark 14, 34 to 36. He said, God, Father, take this cup from me. Is there another way to do redemption? This is harsh. This is painful. This is the Redeemer of the whole known world, the very Son of God, having a very painful human experience and saying, is there another way, Father? And yet, what's the devil after? What's the pressure after? What is it after for you to step away from the will of God in your life, to step away from your assignment, to get stuck in nonsense and stupid stuff instead of embracing the call of God in your life? Jesus was there in an unbelievable, painful situation, tempted to say, I can't do it. Father, is there another way? But he said, yet, not my will, not what I will, but what you will. So Jesus had a will, he had a choice, and he was a good steward of that gateway between the spirit realm and his life. Just wanted to bring that illustration because there's a really good picture of what's going on. Three scriptures really fast. Psalm 27, 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. The Lord said, seek my face. What do? I've got to hear that, but then I got to take it in my heart. But then I've got to say, I will. Say, I will. I will. I will. Seeking his face is saying, I want to stay in your presence. I want to stay. I'm going to seek your face. Your face is going to be the one priority of my life. You said, seek my face. And my heart said, I agree with that. And I said with my mouth, I will stay fixed in the presence of God. One more verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, in light of all these chapters of mercy and grace and favor, here's what I want you to do. In light of the fact that God did it, it's the finished work of the cross, here's your response. Here's your reasonable act of worship. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, not without a revelation, but when you get a revelation of God's mercy, surrender is the only option. And it's easy because you understand how glorious the call of God is. In the view of his mercy, with a view of his mercy, not a view of trying to get into his presence, not a view of trying to be a better person, but a view of his mercy. With a view of his mercy, offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God, which is your true and proper act of worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your... mind... By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and you'll be able to prove what is the will of God, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Good and pleasing to who? To him. Sometimes it may not be good and pleasing to you, but it's his. When you surrender to his mercy, when you come under his grace, when you let your heart and everything in you submit to his claims and calls and lordship on your life, you'll experience the transformation of your soul realm, the transformation of your mind, and you'll come into a place where you will know, you will understand, and you'll walk in the good and pleasing perfect will of God. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you to desire and to work for his good pleasure. Now, who's working? Is God working or am I working? Like, is he working? It says, beloved, work out your salvation, for it's God who's working. Well, that's the amazing thing, is it is a partnership. But you can never work out something that God is not working in. So it's not something you do. Listen, workout is the word katergazomai, katergazomai. It means to bring something to completion, to carry out the full expression, to realize or manifest what is already present. Do you understand? I'm not trying to bring something into manifestation. I'm not trying to work something in my life that's not already there. I'm trying to work out what has already been worked in. I'm trying to bring to full completion. God has given me a massive gold mine, and I am chipping away. I'm manifesting the whole thing. He's given me so many precious promises, and I'm chipping away, and I'm bringing in the manifestation who I already am. Praise the Lord. Come on, help your pastor out. He's still weak and needs help. Come on. God created the desire, the inclination to want to. He's the one who gives you the want to. God is also the one who enables the to do. So he brings that. He supplies the power, the energy, the ability to carry out what he has made us desire. This is not self-powered effort. It's grace-enabled obedience. God is the source of both willing and doing. Go home and write that down on your fridge. We genuinely choose. We genuinely obey. We genuinely will and do, yet none of it originates from our unaided strength. God himself is graciously at work in us, producing both the willingness and the power to do his good pleasure. All right, your will is linked to your soul realm, to your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. Your conscious mind is your thinker. The subconscious mind is the storehouse and the autopilot. Listen, I want you to do something. I want you to breathe. I want you to feel yourself breathe. You ready? Stop breathing. For a minute there, your conscious mind took over your subconscious mind. It's a little weird. Because imagine if you had to say, okay, ready? Make your heart beat. I mean, I would get paranoid there, saying, oh, I better keep this up. But you know, that falls into your subconscious mind. There's a lot of stuff that's in your subconscious world. Thank God I don't have to think every day, okay, you woke up, keep breathing. Hi, guys. How are you today? Just trying to help. Just trying to help. That's what I'm doing, all right? Your conscious mind plants seeds through thoughts, focus, words, and decisions. So your conscious mind sows seeds, but your subconscious mind is grows. It's there where you grow habits. It's there where you grow things that you want, good habits, good principles. You establish good principles in your life through your subconscious mind. You literally write programs on your subconscious mind that regulate your behavior. Are you okay? All right. So subconscious mind plants seed, the subconscious conscious mind plants the seeds, but the subconscious mind grows the habit through repetition, emotion, experience, repeated. I mean, for better, for worse. There's things that get written on your mind, bad seeds get sown in your mind, and it's clusters of thorns. It literally, when you study a brain of somebody with awful strongholds, it literally looks like a thorn bush. A healthy brain looks like a beautiful tree with flowers. But a brain that is traumatized, it's thorns. It literally is. You go read it, you check it out. Double dog dare you. The subconscious mind, through repetition, emotion, and experience, what's repeated and emotionally charged becomes normal. The subconscious mind treats it as the truth. If you've been sitting under religion all your life, you've been listening to it over and over again. So you developed a program that you only respond to religion. So when your pastor preaches freedom and grace, your subconscious mind is screaming at you, bam, 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 get away, get away. Can't be true. It is true. It's just you wrote a pattern. You wrote something. You kept on hearing about performance. You kept on hearing about that over and over again. I plead with you, please read your Bible. Learn what your spiritual document really says, not what the tradition of men has put on you. Conscious mind is the steering wheel. The subconscious mind is the engine. A renewal of the mind is conscious transformation of behavior that flows from your subconscious mind. The beautiful thing is, if you've got nasty programs in there, you can change them. If you've got things back there, literally, I think, what is it, in 23 days, even just 6 minutes a day, meditating on truth can deliver you from, you can rewrite the pattern in your subconscious brain. You can heal yourself. You can heal yourself. You can have things in your subconscious brain that are unconsciously sending signals to your cells that you're sick. But you can go back and you can change your mind. You can heal yourself by thinking right and taking the old trimmer to those thorns and let something beautiful grow. And the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God will go. See, when you let God's word sink in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you are literally transforming your subconscious mind. Caroline Leaf, in her book, The Gift in You, she said, an attitude is a cluster of thoughts with an emotion flavor. An attitude, a good attitude and a bad attitude. You can have things that have been put on you by bad parenting, by bad bosses, by just something that happened in the schoolyard, a relationship that broke up and a trauma, and you're no good. I'm leaving you. You're a dog. These things can affect things. You got trauma in your brain. You're reacting to those things like your last trauma. Be healed. Be healed. An emotional flavor of every type of emotion has one of two roots, love or fear. Love and fear, one of two roots, that's it. It's either love or it's fear. Love and fear are the root of all emotion, and all emotion grow from these. These two cannot coexist. At any one moment, they cannot coexist. We will be operating in one or the other. Another, on page 146, The Gift in You. Science is showing that there's a massive unlearning of negative toxic thoughts when people operate in love. The brain releases a chemical called oxytocin, and that literally melts away the negative toxic thought clusters so that the rewiring, you're rewired in a new non-toxic thought. Love literally wipes out fear. This is what science is telling us. Science is saying love wipes out fear. You know what the Bible said? Perfect love drives out all fear. Praise the Lord. Can I get a praise the Lord? All right, I got 2 minutes. I'm going to wrap up right now. You ready? I can do it. You ready? I'm going to give you some good advice, all right? The whole start of the sermon was good news. And I tell you what, don't give me good advice without the good news, please. Don't start to tell me how to behave before you tell me who I am. A lot of churches trying to tell you how to behave. If you behave right, you can be a child of God. That's rubbish. I am a child of God. And I may still live in a rubber room bouncing around and looking stupid to you, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm a child of God. And he's never going to quit on me. He's never going to relax his grip on me. And you know what? His love and your understanding for me is helping me wash out the fear that's been dominating my life. And I'm getting better every day because I'm in a community that accepts me, that loves me, and reveals the goodness of God to me. All right, 5 ways. I'm serious. 5 ways you can confront toxic clusters. Number one is action. Action. I can't run. I can't run. Stop it. Just start running. The way to get rid of that toxic thought, I can't run, run. But I can't run, run. Thank you, Pastor. That was good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. I can't read the Bible. Read the Bible. I had somebody tell me, I don't understand the Bible. Read it. But I don't understand it. Read it. But I'm not getting anything out of it. Read it. You keep reading it. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit of road is going to touch your heart and your mind. He's going to transform your life. Don't tell me you can't do it. Read it. I can do it. When you open the Bible, you say, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is a spirit and life to me. I thank you that when I open this book, it speaks to me. When I open this book, it radiates my life. When I open this book, it speaks to me. But it doesn't, Pastor. Shut up. Open your Bible and say, this is the living, powerful word of God. It's going to transform my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are my divine teacher. Thank you that every test is an open book test. And thank you that I get to devour your word. And it is the power to change my life. Do that every day before you read the Bible. And I double dog dare you to come back to me in a week and say, it's not working. Come on, action, say I can. Mentoring, a trusted source. If you have a trusted source in your life, a trusted source has direct access to your subconscious. Not everybody can go to your subconscious, but when you say, I trust this person, they can write a program right on your head. So if you have somebody who you trust, but they're preaching rubbish to you, because you trust them, you'll agree because you've set them up as an authority figure in your life. That's why the Bereans are good people. They heard the word, but then they went and studied it to see if it's right. But you can be mentored by people. You can be mentored. Find a good person to be mentored by. Brethren, joining and following my example, note those who walk, who have a pattern of life. Belief system, your belief system is powerful. What you believe is manifesting. Belief system, what do you believe? It says, here's the new covenant. You ready? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as I've loved you. Those are the only commandments of the new covenant. But the first one is believe. Because belief is a transforming agent in your life. Information goes directly to your subconscious. Caroline Leaf said, your mind is trying to catch up with what your spirit already knows. Your spirit already knows it. You're saying, I don't get it, Pastor, but my spirit somehow is saying, I love it, I love it. And there's a conflict in me because my head is saying, do I believe that? But your spirit is saying, yes. Yes, meditation. Yes, meditation is good for you. Meditation. Find a truth that you want to get deep in your heart and ponder it over and over again. Write it on your fridge while you're standing in line at the grocery store, while you're standing in line at the bank, while you're waiting for something. Have a little card in your wallet that you pull out and read it. I used to carry verses with me all the time that when I stood in line, I could read that verse and get it in my spirit. Do it. Do it. The subconscious mind learns by repetition, not by logic. Adding strong belief to what you focus on, and it will become more a developed impact in your life. So develop a mindset. The last one, you ready? Love. Love. Love literally wipes out fear. Caroline Leaf. Love. Thank God for Caroline Leaf. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect. Do you fear torment? Does anybody here fear going to hell? Perfect love doesn't give you the fear of hell. Perfect love does not have torment with it. There's no torment in love. There's absolute unconditional acceptance. Do you believe in unconditional love? No, do you really? Like, think about it. Unconditional love. My love will never, ever weaken, never fail, and never relax its grip. Well, when you get loved like that, it brings healing to your life. Love's a powerful thing. Let me finish with one last verse. Soul, you ready? And my soul shall be joyful, or my soul will be joyful. That's what I say. I will be joyful. Soul, rejoice in the Lord. Break forth into joy, O my soul, in the presence of the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. Come on, stand.